Thank you so much for hanging out with us. This is the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. And I want to introduce you to our next guest, who is the former superintendent of the Chicago Police Department, now mayoral candidate. And I have to point something out. He and I have something in common. Wait for it. We both have a BA in history. And I was so excited when I saw that, sir.
What? Well, you know what? You need to know where you came from to know where you're going to go, right? And that's very important in my life, I can tell you that.
And you've put it to such great use, too, right? Former Chicago police superintendent, talk show host, mayoral candidate.
Absolutely. I see the trajectory. How does one go from getting a history degree to deciding to join the police force when you're a young man at 22?
So here's what happened. My dad was a police officer. I grew up with unbelievable respect and admiration for my dad and being a police officer. Always wanted to do it. And the expectation was we were always going to do better. So I ended up going to college, playing baseball and football at University of Albany. And I wanted to go to law school. Didn't have the money.
Me too.
Took the LSATs, did really well. Could have gone to most law schools that I wanted to, didn't have the money. So I said, you know what, I'm going to do what I wanted to do, become a police officer, and then I'll get a scholarship to the police department. And the next thing I knew, I was a sergeant. After that, I was a lieutenant and a captain. And I actually went back to school and started my master's. I got a couple of A's, which was unusual. And then that was it. I was just too darn busy, and, you know, here I am. And I got a BA in history, and I'm a pretty good cop.
Do you still crack open some history books, maybe some biographies? What are you reading?
So the most recent book that I read historically that I loved was something called Rebel Yell about Stonewall Jackson.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. The other one that I loved was Devil in the White City.
Oh, yeah,
of course.
I read history books all the time. And, good, bad, or indifferent, you have to get history to make sure that you don't repeat it.
Oh, absolutely. And I know that when you were named as the superintendent of the Chicago Police Department, there are a lot of people who said, we should always stick with somebody who knows the city, who grew up in Chicago. They know the dynamics of our streets and know the gangs and that kind of thing. How did you overcome those challenges to become pretty much the most recognizable cop, I think, in the country?
So the first thing is, A, I don't agree with that. I think a fresh set of eyes without coming through a culture kind of helps to figure out how to do things better. And honestly, that's what happened in New York over and over again. And the best example was when Bill Bratton became the police commissioner in New York City and totally revolutionized policing from being reactive to being proactive. And so that's the first thing. But the second thing is, you know, I'm a police officer at heart. And one of my favorite things that I did as superintendent was to go on patrol with these amazing men and women on Friday or Saturday nights, virtually every week. And I could only do it when I was off duty because I was generally too busy to do it otherwise, and go out and do police work with them. And that translates. The NATO conference really went a long way towards showing people that, you know, I'm all about leadership. You know, I'm not a guy who stands on the sidelines and says, go do this. I'm a guy who says, come with me and let's get this done. And I think that translated to the Chicago Police Department to the point where, you know, last night I went to the Cubs game that got rained out and I got dropped off on the wrong side of Wrigley Field. And it literally took me 40 minutes to walk around the stadium to get to where I wanted to go. Because I had to stop and talk to every police officer along the way.
I was going
to
say, it's not because you got lost. It's not because you got lost.
And by the way, not just the cops. I mean, it was also John Q. Citizen stopping me. And it's so gratifying to see that, you know?
It's so ironic that you bring up NATO from 2013. I was looking at pictures today just for a completely different reason. I had covered NATO, and I remember you being out there right by McCormick Place, and there were just lines of bike officers and lines of foot patrol and TAC officers, and you're right there, right up against all of these protesters, too. So I guess my question is, why do you want to be mayor of Chicago?
So that's two different things.
Yeah.
You know, as far as NATO is concerned,
yeah.
First of all, if I'm going to be accountable for what happens there, I'm going to be on the ground with the men and women doing their job and calling the shots. And they responded remarkably. It was one of the finest moments of my police career to be out there with those men and women and kind of set the gold standard for how to handle mass demonstrations in this country. So that's one answer to that question. Mm-hmm. But the second part is, you know, I didn't choose this path. Other people came to me and started pushing me towards politics. And I need to say that I'm not a politician. I'm a public servant. And they are two different things. I have a 20-month-old son. I'm married to a young woman from here in Chicago. I'm not leaving the city, and I can't stand by and watch what's happening here, whether it's the violence, the crime, the economy, the education system, you name it. We are failing in so many different regards that it was not a big push. Well, maybe a little bit. It was kind of a big push for these folks to get me to say, okay, let's go and do this, because I get my juice out of doing the right thing and serving the public. And this is like a once in a lifetime opportunity to make a great American city great again. And what could be more gratifying than that?
Oh, I agree. I've lived here my entire life, and I know when they appointed you, I'm like, this guy looks like he's run out of casting as a Chicago cop.
Yeah.
I have to say, a lot of people would ask, as somebody who has spent their life as a public servant, as a first responder, and has led many men and women in uniform, though, what qualifies you then? You know, the desire is there, but what qualifies you to lead one of the most dynamic cities in the world?
So, first of all, I'm a manager, and I was trained in business management while I was with the NYPD. It was probably one of the most intelligent things that the NYPD has done, which is to train its managers in business management at Columbia University, a pretty good school. And I went through a course there while Bill Bratton was changing the way we did business, turning it into business management. So I was learning it while I was doing it. But then I spent a couple of years at the top of city government in three separate major cities in this country. New York, I was number three or four, depending on how you look at the organizational chart, for 7 years, 5 years in Newark, New Jersey with Cory Booker, and then 5 years here with Rahm Emanuel. I mean, I'm a manager. I know how to get things done. And one of the things that we need more than anything else here in Chicago is performance management government. Looking at government like a business, measuring inputs, setting up systems to measure outputs to get the things that we want. There's so many things that are broken here. There's so many things that can be fixed. And I just can't stand by and watch it.
Gary,
and that's the short story.
Speaking of management, what are your thoughts, I'm just curious, on Rahm Emanuel's COPA, the Civilian Office of Police Accountability? This is such a polarizing board, if you will. What are your thoughts on COPA? And if you're mayor, will you get rid of it?
So I don't know if I'm going to get rid of it. I'll figure out a way to make it work better. But here's the bottom line. You know, my situation, and Eddie Johnson is in the same exact situation today. My situation with the Laquan McDonald shooting was a classic case of I was accountable but did not have the authority to do the things that I needed to do. The police board, which is a civilian oversight committee, is the final determiner on serious discipline in the department. So I'm accountable for the behavior of the officers, but at the same time, I don't have the authority to do the things that I want to do as far as discipline is concerned. And then I'm not in charge of the use of force investigations. That's done by an outside agency. So here's the bottom line. You cannot hold the police superintendent accountable when you don't give that individual, whether it's a man or a woman, the authority to do what they need to do.
This sounds like an issue that's
a failed system.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, and it seems like that's also true in our schools. I want to take a break here if we can, because there's obviously a lot going on in the city that needs a lot of attention and needs somebody who can really wrap their arms around it in a way that we seem to not be heading in the right direction right now, whether it's crime, education, taxes, our budget in Chicago. We are talking to mayoral candidate Gary McCarthy. He's also obviously the former superintendent of the Chicago Police Department. Do you mind holding on for another segment, sir?
Not in the least.
I appreciate that. More on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis in a moment on 720 WGN. Thank you so much for hanging out. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. And Andrea, I do kind of, when we're talking to Gary McCarthy, as you know, he's a mayoral candidate, but I also kind of feel like I just got pulled over. I'm like, officer, yeah. How fast was I going?
You gotta be careful, right? Yeah. Just say I did it.
I did it, whatever it was.
I did it. Guilty.
By the way, Mr. McCarthy, I always am kind of worried when I get pulled over that it's not like I'm worried that maybe somebody else put a body in my trunk. I'm always worried
it's not you.
It's not me. I didn't do it. I'm always worried there's something else. But I do appreciate that you have a passion for Chicago, that you wanted to get in there, and you've seen things from a side of life that we have not, that many of us will never see, the parts of Chicago that many Chicagoans kind of write off. They don't want to know what's going on the south and west sides of the city. When they see that there's gun violence, they figure, oh, that's probably a neighborhood I'll never go to. Let them handle it themselves. What do you say to people who point to Chicago as, oh, look at a city that has the strictest gun laws in the country, and look at how many gun homicides they have, and they point to us as a failure of gun laws? What do you think about that?
Well, first of all, that is NRA rhetoric that is simply not true. We do not have the strictest gun laws in the country, but if you say something over and over again, people begin to believe it. And that's really troubling. You know what we have? We have lax gun laws. We have prosecutors who will not prosecute individuals illegal gun possession, which is the gateway crime to committing a murder. And we also have gang violence. The primary problem in this city is gang violence, and it gets exponentially worse when we don't prosecute people for illegal possession of a gun. I can tell you this, and look, go back and look. Plaxico Burress, New York Giant, shot himself with a gun, an illegal gun, in a club, and went to jail in New York for 2.5 years. That means if you shoot yourself with an illegal gun, you were in possession of the gun. There's not one person that I know of has been prosecuted for that here in the city of Chicago.
Why is that? Why are we not prosecuting...
Look, well, those are the gun laws.
I just can't figure it out. You know, we started tracking our gun arrests in 2015, and what happened when we prosecuted them? And in the first quarter of 2015, we made 692 arrests of 688 people for illegal gun possession. Well, how can that happen? That means that we arrested 4 people twice in a 90-day period with illegal guns. And on the first day of the second quarter, April 1st, 2015, 3 out of 4 of those individuals who we arrested twice were back on the street. That's not okay.
No, it's not.
Those people are a public safety hazard.
Right.
But that's not recognized here.
But how do we change those laws? Because, and I understand.
It's not the laws. It's the failure prosecution. It's not because of the laws.
But also, too, look at how lax the laws are for juveniles. You can have a 15-year-old, and this happened right here. We could see where this happened. In Streeterville, there was a 15-year-old who carjacked. It was actually a former police officer, and another woman was a juvenile, got released to his parents, was out the next day, arrested for another crime. So how do you toughen up the laws against juveniles? I mean, it seems as though the police are making these arrests, but the laws aren't there. The prosecutors aren't prosecuting them.
What has happened over the last few years is political landscape across this country, but here, particularly in Chicago, has reversed field. There's this anti-police sentiment and this idea that we're not going to put anybody else in jail. Somebody has to go to jail. and there's some real confusion in the African American community about the narrative of mass incarceration. Now, most people would be surprised to hear that I have really rethought what constitutes a crime. And illegal possession of a controlled substance, if you catch a junkie with 10 bags of heroin and you put him in jail, that's not going to change his behavior because he has a problem. So putting him in jail is not a good solution. However, if I put a gun in your stomach and I say, give me your money, that's a crime, and I need to go to jail for that. And we're confusing those two issues. That needs to be clarified. We have to have a conversation about the social economic divide in this country and the misconceptions about what people need to go to jail for. You need to go to jail for violent crime. I'm not sure drug possession is a violent crime. And we've made a mistake. The war on drugs that started in the Reagan administration has been a wholesale failure. And it's resulted in mass incarceration, which is being confused with violent crime. And we have to straighten that out. People don't seem to get this. And everybody's afraid to talk about race. I'm not afraid of it because it is what it is. I'm a history buff. I get the history of how we got here. And until we recognize how we got here, we can't figure out where we're going.
Well, and that brings up an important point because you mentioned the social economic divide. And we've talked about this on my show quite a bit and how we've come to this time and place in Chicago where you have communities that are completely choked off from economic growth, from education. And you've talked about how you want to be able to stop school closings by moving money from one place to another. How do you convince my neighbors in Edison Park, Jefferson Park, Norwood Park that money should be going to Englewood, Gage Park, Auburn, Gresham, or Riverdale? How do you convince my neighbors of that?
Well, so first of all, it doesn't mean that we take money away from Edison Park to put it in Englewood. What it means is we reboot the way that we do our finances. Let me give you a couple of quick examples. And this just happened in the last couple of days where I was having conversations out in the community. The first thing is we don't need to spend $95 million on a new police academy to come up with a shiny new object so the mayor could say that I'm all about police reform. That's nonsense. The police academy in the Chicago Police Department is more than adequate to do what we need to do. And by the way, what people don't realize is that while the Department of Justice came in and talked about the training in the Chicago Police Department and how bad it was, that was well above, our standards were well above the Illinois State Training Commission's standards. So if it's about our training, it's about the training in the state of Illinois. So let's start there. So a $95 million expense on a new police academy is an absolute waste of money. And we all know that by the time that gets completed, it's $180, $200 million, right? Because that's how it goes. Look at what's happening with the flyover. It's something like $30 million was what it was supposed to cost. Now it's up to $62 million. We don't even have an end date. So the bottom line is we don't have to take money from, we don't have to steal from Peter to pay Paul. What we have to do is have some fiscal responsibility. We have to stop borrowing to pay our debt.
On that note, will you raise taxes if you're mayor?
Well, you know what? I'm not going to say that we can't, that we will not raise taxes. I'm not going to make a promise I can't keep. But what I can tell you is that with the fiscal irresponsibility that we've seen for the last 7 years, we would have to. So think about what I just said. I just found us $160 million based upon the flyover and based upon the police academy. Just think about that for a second. We want to talk about the pensions. Where is the money going? Where's the TIF funding? Where is the TIF funding going? Which, by the way, is supposed to be a portion for the schools.
Right.
It's going. It's being doled out to aldermen for political favors so that the mayor can, like, rally the troops. This is unconscionable what's happening here. You know, last election, Chuy Garcia said something which really, like, blew my mind. He said, you want my fiscal plan, I'll tell you the day after I become mayor when I look at the books. Now, I thought that was the most absurd thing to say, but there's some truth to that. Of course, I could tell you what I'm going to do, but I don't know what the books say. I don't know where the $8 million is going, the $8 billion is going for the city budget right now, because we don't stick to our budgets. We blow through them, and it means absolutely nothing. This has to be done. We need to manage city government. The mayor is not managing. He does politics. He does bullying. He holds people accountable for not supporting him and not going along with him. We need business management in city government right now. If anybody ran a business the way that city government is run here in Chicago, they'd be out of business in a heartbeat.
Well, I appreciate your time today, and I wish that you'll take the time sometime in the future. I said time three times there, and it bothers me.
No.
I said it four times.
I know what you're going to say, though.
Six,
come
seven.
See our new studios.
Yes, come
time,
see
time,
our new studios.
Yeah.
Time's up.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you so much. We've been talking to Gary McCarthy. He's now the mayoral candidate for the city of Chicago, former superintendent for the Chicago Police Department. We'd love to have you in studio to join us, help Chris in the new space that we've got.
And we have to say congratulations to Gary as well, too, with your son now sleeping through the night.
Yes.
So maybe you get a little more shut-eye.
Oh, my God, it's amazing. It's life-changing.
Yeah, exactly.
And now that he and my wife are sick, otherwise I would have been in the studio
tonight. All right, no worries.
We could do that another time.
Next
now. Thank
time.
You so much.
What are you going to watch on Netflix while you've got the house to yourself?
Well, actually, I'm watching the Cubs game right now.
Oh, there you go. Go Cubs. I love it.
Thanks, Gary.
All right, thanks, sir. Have a good evening.
Have a great night. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
More after this on 720 WGN Chicago. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis.